This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 238. Damn, that's a big number. What did you watch? My name
is Mike. That's a huge number. My name is John.
It's a really big number.
Have you seen that number before, Ben?
No, but I heard it's a really big number.
I'm glad you went with that. You picked up what I was laying down and went with it.
We were back 20 years ago. We worked at a video store together, and we worked with a fella named Ben. He was a really nice guy, but he'd always say, "That's a good movie." Oh, that's a good movie to people or just in general. And so finally one day I used to go, "Ben, have you even seen this movie?" And he goes, "No, but I heard it's a good movie."
He was quite the character, wasn't he?
Gosh, was he ever. Oh, man. Yeah. Anyhow.
So
I watched a lot of stuff this week.
You had messaged me and said, "Hey, do you want to record at 7? And the reason that I said, "We'll see," was because I watched everything, but like I was scraping up against the time limit because, as I was kind of saying earlier, my work week was really chaotic and it made it so that it was very hard for me to watch shows. Like usually I can watch 2 or 3 shows a day by just getting up, walking around, you know, taking a break from work. And I haven't been able to for like a week and a half now. It's been really hard. Like I'll get up even today, you know, get up, start walking around. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this and a phone call. You know, okay, I'll stop that. Oh, now I've got a meeting that I forgot about. So I got to stop that. So everything was broken up. So yeah, when you said that, I'm like, I still had Blacklist and Mandalorian to watch. And I'm like, Jesus, I hope I can get it done by 7:30. And then you were like 7. I'm like, all right, pressure's on. I could do this.
How do you even dare not watch The Mandalorian on Friday and look at the internet over the weekend?
It was tough. It was really tough because, yeah, the internet is getting better about it. But they were like, oh, yeah, We're talking about that cameo. Oh, we're talking about that person who showed up. And yeah,
the Easter eggs explained.
Yeah, it was nuck and futz.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Mandalorian last. I worked from home 3 days last week and we had the holiday and my wife wanted to watch movies because the holiday, because I'm sitting here going, I watched 11 movies last week. And I was astounded of how I even managed to pull that off. But with the holiday, in fact, my wife wanted to watch movies. That does help, because if she wants to watch them, then we'll have that on the TV. Like, say, Saturday, we watched 2 movies together, where maybe normally we wouldn't have watched any movies and maybe New Girl would have been on all day or whatever. You know, we would have run errands or not really run errands anymore. Gosh, we don't do that. But
yeah, like you don't just go out and casually shop anymore.
No, I went and did groceries Saturday. Most of my Christmas stuff I've mail ordered. We were just actually discussing tonight about, do we want to get together with family at Christmas, like extended family, you know?
Right.
We've been discussing that, like my dad and my 2 half brothers. One lives in Powell Knoll. The other one lives in New Hampshire. And it's like, if you count, you know, the big kids, my oldest kids living at their mother's, more, you know, who are at their mother's, you know, more than half the time. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's one household. Ours is 2. Dad's 3. My half-brother John's 4. My other half-brother Adam's 5. So that's, plus my Nana would be 6. There's 6 households coming together in one house. And, you know, I'd like to think they're all being cautious. I know my Nana is. I'd be surprised if she actually came. She never leaves the house anymore. But like, my dad has to go to work, and he works at BIW.
Yeesh. You
know? And he wears a mask all day, and he stays away from people. And if someone comes near him with a mask, he just holds his blowtorch up towards their direction and goes like, can I help you with something? Because that kind of forces them to stay back. But I talked to my dad. He retires in April. And I talked to my dad tonight, and I just said, have you and Linda thought about, should we even be getting together for the holidays? Because they were going to come over Thanksgiving. This is the year they come over Thanksgiving. And he's like, yeah, we have been over the weekend. And my dad's like, I'm not really a big fan of it. Like, I want to see everybody, but I know no one would intentionally do anything, but I don't know where everybody's been.
That's the worst part. That and by worst, I mean, like, one of the hardest, scariest things to do. You know,
yeah.
People say, oh, we should hang out, or, oh, we should get together. And you're immediately, it's like, no, I don't want to.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know where you've been. I don't know, you know, how far back can we trace this? And, you know, were you around this person who was around this person who, yeah, it's crazy.
And other than the fact I have to teach at the academy for a couple of days this week, I'm thankful that at my office, they've dialed this back, that they only want one of us in the office at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then even in dispatch, it's now you are required to wear your mask the whole time.
They must hate that.
Oh yeah, they do. But someone tested positive in there and they had to shut the center down and relocate it temporarily while they brought professional cleaners in to disinfect the room.
Yeah. I got a, email the other day saying that the floor of the office that I work on or worked on before we went remote, somebody tested positive there. So they had to clear everybody off the floor and do the power cleaning. And, I'm very thankful that my job is completely remote now, but I'm also
showed up for work. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm also thankful, you know, that we now in the past week, we've gotten news about two different, vaccines that are actually very promising. Like one of them is 90% effective, but it like has to be refrigerated at all times. But they just announced one today that can be left out on the counter for like 24 hours and not lose its efficacy. And it's like 94.5% effective. So,
oh, that's awesome. I mean, that's really promising. That's really positive that we have these two vaccines. I mean, the flu vaccine is only 70% effective.
If that, yeah.
Right.
And so, it's a moving target, you know, with the flu vaccine, because you never know which strain of the flu is going around. But this one, it's targeted. And
hear about the other vaccine. Say, no, that's phenomenal. I mean,
yeah,
it gives me promise to think that maybe, you know, come May.
Yeah.
We'll be back to normal.
And, you know, that is you laugh, but that is kind of realistic, because I was going to say one of the things with it is that it's a two dose thing. You basically get one injection and then it's like 4 weeks later you get the second injection.
Yeah.
And
that the first one was the same way. Double injection.
But, yep. And they're getting FDA approval now. And I guess England's already ordered 5 million units. And, you know, this is only two of them so far. There are others that are working on vaccines as well. So I'm very hopeful about this.
Yeah, no, I am as well, but it sucks. Like not being able to do things like go to concerts that aren't happening or go to wrestling that's not happening. I mean, that's not my choice. These events aren't happening for me to go to. And then, you know, the ones that are happening are not ones I'd want to go to. But to not be able to do family things.
Yeah.
You know, family gatherings or whatever.
See, like for me, it's two different things. Like I don't do anything with my extended family. So for me, that's not a problem. I have no issue with that, you know, and I feel for you. That's not to diminish it. I definitely feel for you.
Yeah.
But on the opposite end, I've just started dating this girl and it's really hard. You know, she works in a vet's office and they're masked all day and they don't like, they're like the vets up here where you can't go into the building. Like they come out and they pick up your animal and bring them in and then they do everything. But it's still, you know, even the few times that we've gotten together, it's sitting in the back of a car or, you know, trying to find stores that are still open or, you know, looking at a store and saying, yeah, there's too many people in there. Like traditional dating was lame enough in Maine because there wasn't a lot to do. But now where everything is limited. It's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, no, it is. It is. It's you guys have actually been very creative. I was sharing some of your things you guys have come up with that, you know, with my wife, and she just thinks it's awesome that you guys have been so creative as far as, like, you know, watching a movie together, but like having like a picnic lunch and watching a movie kind of in the car.
Yeah.
You know, be with the creativity, and with the weather turning colder now, it's going to be harder to do that. It's going to be harder to, you know, do anything outside.
Did you see, by the way, the Boothbay Botanical Gardens for the first time ever is going drive-through only?
Yep, it's going to be $40 for a carload. You must have a reservation. You must be there when your reservation starts, and it's about a 30-minute drive.
Yep, 30-minute drive. They let people in every 15 minutes at their reservation point. I mean, good for them for finding a way to work around it, but...
Yeah. And I'm sure it'll be gorgeous and beautiful.
Yep.
Are you gonna do that?
Maybe. Depends on the world, everything. I mean, that's the other thing that you and I haven't even mentioned, is that it's entirely possible that within the next week or two, we're going to get word that Maine goes on lockdown again.
My theory on that is it'll happen, and it'll happen after Thanksgiving, after Black Friday.
You think so? I mean, it would make sense.
Other states have already canceled any mass gatherings, like any at all. Like Maine still has indoors 50 and, you know, still allowing people in stores. But I think you'll find after Thanksgiving, it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Start off December, and then people are going to riot because they're going to want to do their Christmas shopping. And
well,
stores will be closed.
I was talking to... My coworker Chris, he's buddies with like the manager at Dick's Sporting Goods, or they go to church together or something like that. And I guess Dick's is very concerned about the pandemic and their employee safety in the store and trying to maintain things. So they are considering closing the store and doing curbside pickup only.
It kind of makes sense, you know? I feel bad for the retail stores that are going to be open on Black Friday and have to impose, you know, capacity limits.
Yep.
I can't imagine that there are still people out there who would be numb enough to be like, oh, no, we're going to go there. We're going to get there for the early bird deals, when there are no early bird deals. But there probably will still be
people. Walmart's already doing theirs. My buddy Brandon down in North Carolina, he bought like Beverly Hills Cop, the complete series on DVD for like $3.96, and John Wick Blu-ray collection with digital and Blu-ray for $13.96. And he picked up a few others, really good deals. So like they've already got a lot of their Black Friday stuff out.
Yeah. A lot of the places are doing like Black Friday weeks, Best Buy's doing it, Target's doing it, you know, here we've got some deals, here we've got some deals, to spread it out, to get people more up on the idea so that they don't try to beat down the doors on Black Friday.
Yeah, I did notice I noticed Walmart was, I did notice a few of those other places having them. I mean, I sent a link to my mother-in-law. No, not my mother-in-law, my stepmother, for something for Wesley on one of those Walmart Black Friday ones. Like today only, this toy is, you know, instead of $45, it's $15.99 or whatever.
You know? Yep.
It's a really cool Hot Wheels loop-to-loop thing. So, but yeah, so it's something we talked about today, and like I called my dad, and my dad is, I was like, have you guys thought about this? And he's like, yeah, we have, and I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah. You
know, of doing it, of getting together. He's like, of course he wants to see everybody, but it's just one Christmas. It's just one Thanksgiving, if you will. It's not the rest of our lives.
Yeah, exactly.
We did get
this
together.
This too shall pass.
Exactly. You know, and with the more vaccines coming out, the more availability of people getting it, you know, hopefully by summer, you know, it'll be a thing. It'll work. Yeah. It'll be. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting. I noticed that Pride's Corner is still going strong. They got another lineup of movies this weekend coming up.
Oh, what do they got?
They got Elf on Saturday and Sunday, the early show at 4:35, because it's dark enough by then, is Elf. And then the feature right after that is Christmas Vacation.
Oh, nice.
So it's a Christmas two-pack, if you will. And then on Friday, so Friday and Saturday and Sunday, they're doing Christmas Vacation all 3 days at like 6:50 or whatever it is. Saturday and Sunday is Elf. And then they're doing Late Night Friday and Saturday. And I got to chuckle. It's Evil Dead.
That seems to go really well with Elf and Christmas Vacation.
Right. You go Saturday for a triple feature of Elf, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and The Evil Dead.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, they've never run in November like this before. So, good for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're milking this for all they can. No snow on the ground. Ground's still solid. Let's do it.
I'm hoping that this continues. I'm hoping that this trend, you know, makes up for the fact that drive-ins have been kind of lackluster when people could just go to the theaters. But I hope that when COVID passes, that they still see the influx of people.
I would love to see it myself. I would love to see them continuing to do retro and classic movies more so than new movies, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason why Pride's Corner is still open is because they're selling tickets and it's worth it for them to be open.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's worth it for them to run the movie still because people are buying tickets and they're going. Yep. And realistically, you know, if you can go to a 4:30 movie, you know, at a drive-in with the kids, like they did Toy Story early last week, sold out both days, and now they're doing Elf. I mean, people will go.
Yep. I was bummed that Pride's Corner wasn't doing Freaky. I really wanted to see that, and I was hoping that they'd bring that as a first run, but...
I know. I was kind of I actually wanted to see that as well, and that kind of would have been cool, just because the only way we're kind of going to see it. And then that trailer that you shared, that jujitsu trailer, that movie is in theaters and on demand this week, and that just looks crazy. And I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's just crazy enough to be awesome.
Yeah. But anyhow.
So this has been your Corona podcast.
Yeah, this has been how the pandemic is treating us podcast.
Yeah, but I think it's pertinent, you know, that we're all about the movies and TV shows and such, but at the same time, this does affect it.
Yep. But no, I'm would not be surprised. They finally just started at the police academy. They brought the BLEPI back, and the BLEPI is the basic law enforcement training course. And it's an 18-week course, and they had to cancel it early last March because of COVID. So they've done what they can do online and remotely, but now there's certain in group person things they have to do, like EVOC, which is driving, and marks. So they finally brought everyone back together last week, and I think they managed to run 10 days before they had to send everybody home because someone tested positive.
Damn.
They tested positive off-site, but it was still, they had to shut it down already. And so I was actually surprised that they even were letting us do class this week, but no one was at the academy was positive, and they had the weekend to clean the building, so that's what they did. Anyways, but shows and stuff, I watched shows a lot. Stuff.
Like I said, I think I got in everything that I was supposed to.
You have watched so much New Girl, honey.
That's all I've watched.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. New Girl's awesome.
New Girl is awesome. It's funny going back and watching now. I stopped watching it after the first couple of seasons. And I think it had to do with my divorce and everything at the time frame of when I lost cable and really wasn't watching new stuff. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of stuff like I had never seen. And it went 7 seasons for crying out loud.
Yeah. 7 seasons on a movie.
Yeah. But another show that another half hour situational comedy I am watching. It's not a comedy. We know this. The Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai.
You know, it's still a great show.
Yeah. After last week being like, this is the best episode they've done. Then this week's episode hit and it was like,
Well, it's only... It's only fitting that the title of the episode is Lull.
Yep.
the main story is Kreese goes and sees Daniel and basically talks shit to him. Thanks for taking all the weakness out of Cobra Kai. Basically says they're at war and then says, you know, give Mr. Miyagi my best, which he's dead. So obviously you can't.
Right.
Then you have Cobra Kai goes out to the woods to do like a capture the flag gimmick. And Miguel beats up Hawk and takes the Medal of Honor back from him. Once he realizes he's the one that vandalized Miyagi-Do.
Yep. And basically Miguel, Hawk is saying that honor doesn't matter. You know, they needed to be put in their place. And Miguel's like, no, Sensei Lawrence taught us about honor. You know, there's no honor in being a dick. And he's like, who cares? We beat them. And
yeah. One of the like adult students, if you will, calling himself, he's like, he gave him, like Johnny calls him Chubbs, but he gave himself a new look with a braided goatee and whatever. He calls himself Stingray.
Stingray. And what does Stingray do, Mike?
They sting.
Well, no, they lie in wait for their prey and then jump out at them.
Which is exactly what Stingray did. He hid in the ground, basically, until everyone was lulled, and then he attacked. He didn't really attack. He just grabbed Miguel from behind and cut his little promo and then ripped his headband off. And that was it. So it's not like you beat him in a fight.
Right. And honestly, like, in the time that he was sitting there saying, you know what a Stingray does? Miguel could have just, like, elbowed him and flipped him over and dropped him.
Yes. Most definitely could have. So Miguel returns the Medal of Honor to the Russo's house, but of course Robbie answers, and he gives it to Robbie, and Robbie sticks it in his pocket when Sam's like, who's that? He's like, no one.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Because, you know, he's now kissing Sam, so.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently Miguel's a threat because that's her ex. And then Johnny actually realized Kreese hasn't changed at all, that he's trying to corrupt his students and take over Cobra Kai.
Just like his friends told him.
Yeah, so Johnny kicks him loose. But with 3 episodes left this season,
oh, you forgot that Daniel's marriage is on the rocks.
Oh, no, it's not. I know they teased it, that he's spending too much time at the dojo and he's not spending enough time with...
With his wife, with the dealership. He lost his top salesman there because the guy was like, you know, screw you, you're not making time for me.
Yeah. But I think that's just, that's a red herring.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I don't think his marriage will actually falter.
She's a pretty intelligent woman and she's pretty strong-willed. So I could see her saying, you know, look, we need to cool off for a bit. Maybe not.
I guess we'll find out.
Yes,
we will. Part of me just wants to watch these next 3 episodes and finish the season because I'm just excited to see what happens.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So is that what you're saying we should do?
I don't know. Do you want to just watch the next 3 episodes, 8, 9, and 10, and get it done? Or we just want to watch 8 and then watch 9 and 10?
See how we. No, they're half-hour episodes. We could do 3.
All right, let's just do it then.
I caught shit from a buddy of mine the other day because he has finished the season. He's like, why can't I talk to you about it? I'm like, because I'm not caught up yet. So then he would feel better. Not that it's all about him. Well, but.
Let's do it then. Let's watch it.
All right.
Moving on. The unicorn.
Moving on up.
It was very interesting watching TV like a normal person last Thursday at 9:30. I don't do that. I mean, other than AEW on Wednesdays, I watch TV when I watch it, you know, on Hulu or Netflix or when I get around to it. But
how did you handle the commercials?
You know, it was fine. It was fine. I handled it just fine. That's a great show.
It is.
It really is. It
can be slapsticky. It can almost be over the top, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
So Wade basically is spending this time in this episode trying to find the girl with the skunk, and Natalie even Zia. Goes to like, huh?
Natalie Zia.
Yeah, her name is Shannon. We find out.
Yes.
He even goes to 3 different veterinary clinics or 5 different ones to try to find. Did someone bring a skunk here? Did someone bring a skunk here? And then there was a bumper sticker on her car that he drew, but he couldn't place what it was. And then now it's 3 months later, and he hadn't found her. And everyone's like, you need to just give up and move on, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, one of the girls, the doctor, she sees the bumper sticker on a kid's shirt, and it's for an elementary school. And so hilariously and creepily, Wade goes to the school to see if he can find her. And when another parent, of course, oh, hey, who are you? Who's your kid? Now they have that awkward conversation of like, I don't have a kid that's here. I'm just here looking for a girl. Making him seem like he's really creepy.
They had, so there was that one. And then right in the beginning of the episode at the vet, you know, I'm just looking for a woman. See, he met this way. It was like all these awkward conversations, you know, the double entendres and which again, normally I would roll my eyes at, but it's pretty good. It's well done in this show.
Yeah. They got away with it. He sees her at the school, but then she sees that like she's with her son and the son called someone dad. So she must be married. So he's just going to slink away. But then she kind of sees him and they talk, and then he just kind of runs away anyways. And then a little bit later on, he's like, she's married. He's with his friend. She's married. I guess it's over now. Yada, yada, yada. And then she shows up at his house because she saw the name of the business and she Googled it and went to the business, but it turns out it's his house, and they have a little awkwardness. And then finally he confesses that he hasn't stopped thinking about her since he met her, and he was trying to find her. And so they agree to exchange phone numbers, which of course he forgets to do, and she leaves.
I love
one of my favorite little
he's
ongoing
like, can
story
I call
lines.
You?
Yeah.
Can I call you? And she's like, yeah. Did you get her number? No.
One of my other favorite little ongoing storylines is they're at a restaurant, Wade and the girls, the wives. I can't think of their characters' names now. Michelle and Delia. And Wade gets up to go take a phone call about something to do with work. And the girl comes out. She's the chef at this restaurant. She's the and basically Delia wanted who wanted the salmon but without the marinade. Oh, that was me. Yeah, so it's kind of been marinating it like all morning and all day, so I really can't take the marinade off it. You can't just wash it off? Yeah, no, that would like ruin it. I can't wash it off. Like, it was hilarious.
Yeah. She's and like, then how about when, just a Niçoise salad?
Yeah. And then when she shows up at the house to see Wade, and she sees that they're there, oh, you're the chef. Oh, you're the one that wanted me to wash the marinade off the salmon. Yeah, I don't see why you couldn't have done that. You know, like, I like that comedy. So.
Yeah. She was like, oh, you're that crazy chef that wouldn't wash the marinade off my salmon.
Yeah.
Already hitting the good marks with her.
Mm. Oh, well. Nope, I enjoy the show. I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too. I wonder if she will be, quote unquote, the one, or if this is going to be one of those like Stella in How I Met Your Mother, where it lasts a few episodes and then they ultimately break it off.
You know, that's true. I didn't consider that, but that's very possible.
I mean, we're only in the second season, so I don't know if they're ready to be like, yep, the show is called The Unicorn. It's not called, you know, Happily Ever After or something like that.
Right. Superstore. Had a little issues with it this week.
There were a few, yeah.
It was getting stupid.
And, yeah, basically they need Glenn took back over as manager, and they need a new floor supervisor to take his place, which... Did they really? I mean, didn't they kind of create that position just to make him feel better? So technically they don't need another floor supervisor, but whatever, you know, they did. And, you know, nobody jumps at it at first. And so Jonah, of course, is like, well, I could do this. You know, you could let me do it. And they think it's a good idea. But then Dina doesn't, because she realizes that Jonah doesn't. Like, he has original ideas and he wants to do things differently. And Dina likes to do things the old way. Like, at one point he says, hey, what if we gave each zone supervisor a walkie-talkie so that they wouldn't have to like walk all over the place to talk to each other? They could just do that. And she's like, we only have 8 and I need 4 backups, which was hilarious because that would be something that Dina would say.
Yep.
And he's like, well, why don't we just order more? She's like, they've been discontinued for 10 years. So, I mean, this is ridiculous, but I've worked at places like that. That are like, no. My sister's working for the state right now, and they're still on Windows 7. Because they tried Windows 10, and it didn't work with one of their scanners, so they reverted back to Windows 7. Get another scanner.
Yeah, that seems definitely a bit ridiculous.
So,
so one thing I found out about Superstore.
Okay.
Episode 2 of this season, the one where Amy leaves.
Yes, California Park.
And goes to California, was the original season finale last season.
Oh. That would have made a lot more sense. That we
got, yes. The episode 1 that we got this year, which took place between March and July-ish, I think it was, where the COVID first starts and everything.
Yeah.
That was a new episode they filmed after coronavirus hit, prior to... So that became episode one of this season, and then episode 2 of this season was the original season finale for last year.
Oh, gotcha.
So that was pretty clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently the whole time they intended to have Jonah and Amy's relationship kind of blow up and Amy leave without him.
Hmm. Yeah. That's good. And it's good that they found a way to work around it.
Yeah, exactly. Going back to this episode, but Dina wanted Cheyenne to become the floor supervisor because she could manipulate Cheyenne.
Right.
And then they start doing kind of a political campaign thing where Dina's like, oh, just tell lies about Jonah and make promises you can't keep that way. Because somehow they decide that they're going to have the store vote on who gets the promotion, which that should never happen ever, ever.
Right.
Yeah. But then Cheyenne kind of basically cuts a promo, if you will, about changes she'd make. And everyone realizes, wow, she actually might be really good at this. And Cheyenne gets the job.
Yeah. Even Jonah, I wanted to say Garrett, but even Jonah is like, yeah, I think she'd do a good job. Which, by the way, that was another side story that was going on, which was pretty funny for the most part. Like Sandra and Jerry adopted that kid. I had forgotten about that, but he's basically a grown adult. He's like, what, 18 or something?
Yeah.
And they have adopted him, and he wanted to get some condoms, and Garrett went and told Sandra, and she's like, oh, will you talk to him about that? And he's like, no, I will get him the condoms, and that is it. I am not doing this. She's like, oh, come on. Jerry gets so long-winded, and he gets so detailed about sex, and he's like, I don't want to hear about this. So he does end up talking to the kid, and it turns into like a thing about love. Like the guy asks him, like, how do you know when you're in love? And he's like, well, maybe I'm not the best person to talk to about this. And, you know, he feels that he still loves Dina, and he missed his chance. And, we'll probably see more of that rekindling this season.
Well, I think my favorite part is Garrett wanted nothing to do with talking to this kid about it until he said, so which one of these are reusable?
Yeah.
Garrett's like, none of them?
Yeah. That is not how this works.
Keeping with the half hour show, I'm still loving the Connors. Just throwing that out there. Still good stuff.
Excellent.
Truth
Seekers is a half an hour.
Yeah, say I was about to say Truth Seekers, I think, is our last half hour show.
Negative.
What's the other one?
Staged.
Oh, Staged. You know what? For some reason, Staged got deleted off my list.
Oh. Yeah, we forgot to talk about it 1 week. And
yeah. Staged. Let's talk about Staged. We got two episodes to talk about. We forgot to chat about it last week.
Okay.
What do you think?
I still love this show. I love how crazy it is. The fact that it's written and happens during COVID. It's one of the few shows, like, you know, Superstore and This Is Us really leaned into COVID. And like I said, when I watched them, it was a bit jarring. And again, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he said that watching This Is Us with the COVID stuff was really, he didn't like it at all because, you know, as we said, sometimes it feels like that. I watch shows to escape, not to feel the same thing.
Yep.
But
But I feel like earlier this week about Law and Order SVU.
Yeah, which I can't wait to hear about. Staged is hardcore into this, but they do it well. They don't sit there and talk about, you know, the terribleness and the masks and the hand sanitizing. They acknowledge it and that this is the world, and so the whole thing takes place on Zoom calls. And so it can simultaneously be all about the pandemic, but at the same time not feel like preachy or depressing or anything like that.
Yeah, it's definitely not preachy or depressing. It's actually quite hilarious.
It's freaking hilarious.
We're talking about episodes 3 and 4, are we? Or 4 and 5?
Well, no. No, last week we had to talk about 2 of them. Last week we talked about 2 of them because we had to talk about episode 2 and 3. The Sam Jackson one was the last one that we talked about. And then this week we watched episode 4.
Okay, all right.
The one where we both had the exact same picture that we took with our phones?
Yes. That was hilarious. Okay, so we're watching the episode, and it's basically them kind of rehearsing the play with Simon's assistant or her agent or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what she is, but yeah, she's something like that. It's like the producer or the manager or something.
And they're basically she's not letting them talk to Simon.
Cause he's scared of them.
Yes. And I just remember, like, I watched the episode and then I took a picture of the credit screen to send to you and just sent that to you. And you're like, oh, I took a picture of that too. I was like, what? And then you send me the picture that you had taken. Yep. So,
because we had mentioned last time we talked that they keep adjusting the credits based on what happened in the episodes.
Yes.
Like how David Tennant turned into David McDonald so that he could be first instead of Sheen. Yep.
In this episode, Sheen's, he has to tend to his neighbor. She's, you know, basically blackmailing him that if he doesn't bring the groceries to her and this and that, then she's going to report him for putting his recyclables in her bin. But she baked me like a fruitcake. I'm just going to say fruitcake. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, it's a Welsh fruitcake, and it sounds disgusting.
Yeah, like a Welsh fruitcake. Oh, yeah? Okay. So what are the groceries that you're bringing for her today? He's like, oh, well, it's, and he starts reading the list and he goes, fuck, she's making me another fruitcake. You know, like,
yep.
It's the ingredients for whatever. So he leaves and then he comes back and he's concerned because she didn't answer the door. She always answers the door. And David's like, I'm sure it's going to be fine. And Michael seems really bothered by the fact that she's not answering the door.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a very somber kind of thing. And
that's how they left the episode.
Yeah.
But the best part was the closing credit scene where we have Michael Sheen and the fucking liar, David Tennant.
Yes. The fucking liar, David Tennant.
I thought that was fantastic. I liked how David got caught drinking out of a mug that had his picture on it. And the lady was like, does that mug have your picture on it? Yeah, I just enjoy the show. It's literally like two friends bantering back and forth over Zoom calls because they don't have anything else to do.
Yep. And I mean, at its core, it's supposed to be them doing this so that they can rehearse this play so that when the pandemic lifts, they'll be ready and nobody else will be ready and they can take advantage. But it's not that most times. It's just them bamfing and you know, this time Michael let slip that Georgia sold her book. And, you know, it was while he was giving David shit. And he's like, that's probably why he told him that his voice was cartoony. He's like, that's probably why Georgia doesn't want you to do the audiobook for her book. And he's like, wait, Georgia sold her book? And he goes, yeah. And that's why you're not doing the audiobook because you sound cartoony. And David took real offense to that. But then later on, he's like, I guess I can be cartoony. I mean, I'm the voice of Scrooge McDuck. Michael's just like making duck noises.
Yeah, and then he's trying to do duck. He's like, I don't know who that is. When he's doing the duck voices, and it was It reminded me more of like Donald Duck or something.
Yes. Yep.
It was still good stuff. Oh, hell. It's a fun show.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Now, with Truth Seekers, this week, did you feel a little jarred in the beginning, almost like we missed something?
Yeah, because we kind of started like back in olden time days. So I thought, did I miss something? Like, I don't know. It did seem kind of like an abrupt.
Well, it was that stuff, which was almost like the creation of their version of the Necronomicon.
Yes.
And then when we come back to modern times, they're sitting down and interviewing the girl who sees all the ghosts. Like we had established this, like they had all met up before.
Well, they did, because at the end of the last episode, when they pull into.
Oh, that's right.
She comes running out and she's like, I need to talk to you guys.
That's right.
I need your help. So they did kind of establish that. Yeah.
Yep. You're right. I guess I was thrown off by the old timey stuff. And then I was like, wait a minute. Now what's going on? So, yeah.
They go see a medium who clearly wants to bang Gus thoroughly.
Yes.
She pays to do he pays her to do a reading of the girl, and during the reading, like, the place lights up and then it gets crazy, and they try to do like a seance thing and it gets even more crazy, and yeah. So clearly she's not possessed, but she's got some sort of massive connection, and it's related to that book that they established at the beginning.
I like how the book was just sitting there under glass. It wasn't actually like, it didn't become like a central focus thing. Like nobody was, it wasn't calling out to anybody, and it wasn't like, oh my God, this is going to be the whole central MacGuffin of this episode. But it was a callback to that earlier thing. Did it lose you? Oh, okay.
No, still here. Yes. Yes, it was.
So I appreciated that. I don't like it when you've heard me complain about that before, where like you get the opening scene where it's like previously on such and such, and then you're like, oh, that's exactly what they're going to talk about this episode, or that person's coming back this episode. And in this case, it could have been the same way. They easily could have made it so that the entire episode revolved around that book. But instead it was just like, yeah, it's here. Don't forget about it, but we're moving on.
Yeah, pretty much. They try to do a seance at the hospital, and that the one that Astrid woke up in, and Gus sees his dead wife.
Yeah.
Astrid sees some other ghosts, and they're using the Percepta, that was their Necronomicon, to read passages from it. Elton reads the last part of an exorcism directly from the book, and somehow she's been exercised. She feels like a changed person. She's happier. She feels alive. Elton invites her to stay with him, his wife or girlfriend. Is it his wife or girlfriend or sister?
Sister.
Does not seem impressed with it. But
yeah, he made very clear about that. He was like, no, sister. Because they asked him if that was his wife in the beginning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, and then we also see, you know, we get to see Simon Pegg and his horrific headpiece or hairpiece. I think it's hilarious. And they're getting ready to upgrade to 6G. Sorry, 6G on this though.
And again, I feel like there's something more insidious going on, because that other episode there, he was looking at that map and watching the Wi-Fi burst back into life, and he was all relieved and excited. And I think it's more than him just being an executive, but maybe he's just a pushy exec, and that could be okay too, I guess.
Could be. Probably isn't. Fargo's good.
Still good.
I'm still enjoying it. The shit's starting to hit the fan pretty heavily, because that's what happens with the show as we're getting near the end. We're down to the last three episodes. Last night, and now the next 2 weeks. So the last episode will air the weekend after Thanksgiving. Again, if you like the first few seasons, you'll like this. If you like mobby, violent-y stuff, you'll like this.
Mobby, violent-y stuff.
Mobby, violent-y stuff, yep.
outstanding.
Did you watch the next episode of The Queen's Gambit?
I did. And you know what's even more impressive? Not only did I watch the next episode of Queen's Gambit, I did not fall asleep once while watching the next episode of Queen's Gambit.
Well, good for you.
I consider that quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, so it's
episode I guess three. I just derailed you.
No. It's episode three. They go to Cincinnati.
At first.
Yeah, they go to Cincinnati at the beginning. Beth wins the tournament. Her mother, because she introduced, this is my mother, you know, says that she would like 10% of the prize money that they have left over as an agent commission, which realistically is fair. She's not asking for all of it. She's not taking it all because Beth is a minor technically. But Beth is like, you know what? You get 15%. So they took all the expenses out of going to the trip from her prize money. And then she gave her 15% still.
Yeah.
And then that still left Beth with quite a chunk of change. And her mother seemed quite happy about it.
Yep.
We see a montage of her missing school because she's traveling to tournaments.
Missing school, but her mom's giving excuses to them.
Yes. She's got mono. She's got a cold. She's got this. She's got that. You know, she gets national recognition. She gets in Life magazine. They do interviews with her. This one woman reporter is very brazen and rude, almost disrespectful.
Yeah.
Cause she's like, wants to know dirt. Like there's gotta be some dirt for me to know about. I want to know the dirt. Why aren't you giving me the dirt? And finally, you know, Beth's mom just cuts her off. Is like, all right, that's enough. She is a minor. She does have school, et cetera, et cetera. Because she's popular now in Life magazine, she's popular at school. So the cool kids ask her to come to a social event or whatever,
almost like a rush. It was basically a social gathering for the apple pies, and that's PI.
Yes. She goes and hangs out with them, and they ask her a lot of questions about different things. And then they're using some innuendo about this boy that she met. That is at the tournament in Cincinnati, which is a guy that she played and beat in one of the early tournaments, and now he's a news reporter. And he invites her to his room to go play chess, but we find out that he's clearly gay.
Yes.
But she wasn't looking at it in any sexual way. She was looking at it to play chess. And when these girls are making innuendo about pawns or taking his rook or whatever, she doesn't get any of it. Kind of goes over her head. She's like, yeah, I've taken his rook many times because I've beaten him many times when we play chess. She goes to the U.S. Open in Vegas. And she lets this guy get in her head, Benny Watts. And she loses some confidence and she loses.
Well, he gets in her head because he's right. You know, she has these grandiose ideas, and she, as tactical as she is, she's always just looking at one path, and she's like, yep, I figured this out, and this is the one solution to this. And so, you know, what he says to her is, in that one match, you shouldn't have castled. And she's like, yeah, but I won. And he's like, well, it doesn't matter that you won. You could have lost. If he had noticed, he could have done this and this. And she's like, yeah, whatever. But then she goes back and thinks on it, and she's like, holy crap, he's right. Like, I wasn't looking at that. I was so focused on just, this is the way. You know, she was the Mandalorian. She's like, this is the way. And
she's also very realistic in her plan of like, look, you know, I remember when I got excited because I saw this Grandmaster's game and I pointed out a mistake that they made, even though they won. And he just did the same thing to me. She goes, and I should expect that as I get better, people are going to do the same thing to me. So I shouldn't be this upset about it, but yet I am. Like,
right.
She's rational with why she feels the way she feels. She's rational about why she doesn't need to feel that way, but yeah, I do. So end of it. You know, I enjoyed that actually.
This was also, this whole episode was her introduction to alcohol.
Yes.
She actually asked her mother at one point, she's like, do you think that your failing health could be because you pound booze all the time? And her mom's like, nope, I've flirted with alcohol my entire life. It's time that I made a full commitment, you know, some kind of pithy remark like that. Yeah. But she offers her a drink of her, what was it? It wasn't a martini. Cause she said, is that a martini? And she was like, no, like a, I can't remember. I don't know alcohol that much. But she gave her a drink of that. And then later on, she's like, get me a beer. And she gives her a little bit of the beer. And then she's like, well, now I want a full beer. And she goes, okay, then get me another one. And so she started now incorporating alcohol with the drugs that she's taking.
Well, I'm looking forward to the next episode, actually. So there's only 7 episodes. We have 4 to go.
I will also say, I'm not taking back my earlier statement. It is slow as fuck. Like,
oh, no, it is. It's definitely not. It's a background show.
Yes. Yeah.
This is, I'll have this on while I'm doing something else, and I don't feel like I've missed anything.
Yeah, like I could comfortably play a game while watching this and, like you said, not feel like I missed out on anything at all.
Speaking of that, I know you got your PS5. How'd that treat you so far?
I've got a PS5. I have had very little time to play it, which is tragic because it's a fucking PS5 and everybody wants one. And I'm a gamer, but holy crap. I feel like every day has been a blur and I haven't had an opportunity to really sink my teeth in. I've gotten like a couple little sessions here and there, but, I love it. The bits that I've played of it, it's amazing. It's awesome. And yeah, that's all I'll say about that.
Nice. Bly Manor. Let's stick with our Netflix shows.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to the season getting over with so I can be done watching it.
I am as well. This was another episode where we got a little more information, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to that finish line.
Yeah. We find out Henry, the guy that hired Danny from the beginning to watch over his niece and nephew, was having an affair with his sister-in-law, and he is actually Flora's father.
Yep.
However, once Dominic, Henry's brother, finds out about it, Charlotte's wife, he basically cuts ties with him and makes sure that he knows that Flora is his daughter, will always be his daughter. When she falls down and skins her knee, she comes running to me, her daddy, and this and that, and Henry's not allowed to contact the family or come back to Bly Manor, on. Because of the affair, Dominic and Charlotte head out to India to try to rekindle their marriage, and they die in an accident.
Well, they've died off screen, and he got the call, and he buried empty coffins. I'm still wondering about this.
Well, no, they're dead, because we're seeing Dominic's ghost taunting Henry.
Oh, that was not Dominic's ghost. That is Henry. That is the same actor playing both characters.
Okay. It seemed confusing to me. So we're seeing a split personality of himself. Yes. At first I thought it was the same guy.
Yep.
But then as it went on, I thought, oh, that must be his brother haunting him after what he did.
Nope. Oh. He specifically, his brother Dominic actually says to him at one point he says to himself something about that's the day that your personality split, or that's the day that you got your dark half, or something like that. But yeah, it is definitely him. And did you notice that, again, there's some weird stuff going on. Did you notice that he never is outside of that office? Like this entire episode, he's always in that office. And
he's dead and stuck in the office.
I think he's dead and stuck in the office. Like he killed himself in there or something. And I think that that's why like the secretary looks very old fashioned and, you know, he keeps walking like he'll step outside of his part of the office and it's a flashback to an earlier time.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. I guess that could make sense. What else happens? We see Henry drinking a lot. We see, basically, we learn that Rebecca and Peter are possessing the children. And that's why Flora says perfectly splendid all the time.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Miss Jessup is taking over her, and it's causing her to black out. Apparently, yeah. She gets shoved down into memories.
And Flora recognizes this and actually confronts Rebecca, Miss Jessup, but Rebecca about it. And is basically like, hey, you need to stop doing this. I don't like being shoved down in my memories. I don't like blacking out and not remembering things. You need to stop this. Like, she confronts her about it. And then Danny comes in and sees Rebecca's ghost talking to Charlotte, talking to Flora. Yep. And then she sees Peter's ghost in the hallway. And when she tries to run off with Flora, Miles gets possessed by Peter. And then we see Rebecca possessed Flora. And Miles hits Danny in the back of the head, knocking her out. And that leads us to episode 7 called The Two Faces Part 2.
Yeah, which now it makes sense that we're going to get that story because we saw the build up to why Peter and Rebecca were in love and stuff. And now we're going to see what they've been doing with these damn kids.
Yep.
It's creepy. And it's kooky, but yeah, I definitely liked the first season a lot better. I remember being riveted in the first season. I may not remember every beat of every story.
I can't even call that the first season. That's a completely different show.
You're right. That's a very good point.
You know, that's just a completely different show. This is the same people making another ghost story show. And yeah, Haunting of Hill House was tremendously better than this.
Absolutely.
Well, let's stick with the ghost theme, I guess. Let's talk about Supernatural. So apparently this ends with episode 19, because what the fuck are they going to do in episode 20?
I saw the preview for next week because I had to watch it on my DVR.
Okay.
And so I'll tell you exactly what they're going to do. What's that?
Please do.
Oh, episode 20 is a behind the scenes with all the actors and actresses and, you know, talking over the years, what they've done and their favorite characters and stuff. And then 21 is going to be like a wrap up. Like, they went off into the sunset. Here's the type of stuff that's going on now. So effectively, the way I understood it from the preview is that what we just watched was the finale. And then we're basically going to get a behind the scenes and a PS.
I knew they're going to have a 1-hour special next week from 8 to 9, that, which is what you were talking about, you know, looking back at the past, talking to the cast and crew, et cetera. And then the final episode was going to air after that, the official final episode. But yeah, so basically in this one, at the end of episode 18, basically Chuck snaps everyone out of existence and only leaves Jack and the Winchesters on Earth. And they're kind of stuck there for a few months by themselves. They find Michael, the archangel. He's hiding out at a church.
Which, as soon as he showed up, I was like, Mike called it. Mike said, we haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah. Lucifer shows up. And basically he says...
Deep cut there bringing him back.
Huh?
Deep cut bringing that actor back. Was it Mark Pellegrino or...
Yep. So they pull... basically, Lucifer says, you know, this is Betty. Betty's a Reaper. Then he kills Betty. And now that Betty's the first Reaper to die since Death died, now this is Death, and Death can read the book. So they bring the book out eventually, because basically Lucifer's kind of tricking them into thinking that he is on their side, that who pulled him out of the empty?
I wanted more Betty. Betty was great.
Me too. Betty didn't last very long.
No.
Who pulled Lucifer out of the empty? Did he say he pulled him out?
He said that...
Oh, the empty.
The
sent
empty
him
kicked
up
him out. That's yes.
Right. Kicked him out. Sent him up here. But realistically what happened is Chuck brought Lucifer back from the dead to get the book and to stop the Winchesters. Michael and Lucifer fought, and then Michael killed Lucifer. Then they develop this plan where they find that there's this spell that they can cast and it'll unleash or bring the ultimate that can destroy God according to the book. So they go to this distant place and they unload, they bring back the, they do the spell, God appears, Michael basically says, "Hey, Daddy, I told you about this. I did what you ask. I'm on your side now," because, you know, Michael ultimately wants God's love. That's what they've established throughout this whole series, is that the archangels and the angels will do everything to get God's, to be God's favorite, if you will. And when he found out that God brought Lucifer back to do this and didn't talk to Michael about it, he was offended. But then God kills Michael. And then Chuck decides that he's going to kill the Winchesters because he's bored with them. But he's going to get his hands dirty, and he starts punching them. And punching them and punching them and beating them up. And they keep getting up. And
which, dude, this is God, okay?
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, the creator of the universe and all other universes. And he's fight clubbing them.
Yep. And then they get up and they laugh. And he's like, "What's so funny?" And they're just like, "Oh, you lose." And they point to Jack. And apparently Jack, as we see, he's been killing stuff. As he walks by it and the plants wither, this or that, we find out that Jack is like a solar battery.
He's an energy vacuum.
Energy vacuum, thank you. And then we see the flashbacks of him, like the plants die, but the energy from the plant goes into him. And the Winchesters see this, and they develop this elaborate plan where Michael and Lucifer fought, and Chuck and Jack absorbed their power. And then they made up this plan because they can't read the book, and they knew Michael. We knew Michael would tell you. So if we told Michael, you know, told about the plan in front of Michael, Michael would run and tell you, and then you would kill
Michael.
We're
counting on him being a simp, essentially.
Yeah, and then, you know, you would beat us up, and so Jack able to drain your powers, and then Jack literally drains all of God's powers out of him by grabbing him by the side of the head.
Yep,
and leaving him not only powerless, but mortal.
Yes.
And so Chuck is like, "Oh, this is my end. You guys are going to kill me. Fine, whatever." And they're like, nope, they walk away, because their punishment to Chuck is now that he's mortal, he can live his whole life and grow old and die. And no one will know who you are, and no one will treasure you, and on and on and on. And basically, Jack is now God. And Jack snaps his fingers and apparently brings everybody back and restores the world to normal. But I'm guessing if he's restored the world to normal, that means there's bad people there and the demons are back and monsters are back.
Yeah, which is probably why we are going to get the follow-up episode.
But yeah, so Jack goes to leave. And of course, Dean's like, "No, you got to come back and have a beer with us," and this and that. And Jack's like, no, that's not what I need to do. I just need to kind of go, and people are going to pray to me, and people are going to sacrifice to me, and I'll be there in everybody's hearts. Like, he kind of basically says he's going to do the same thing that Chuck did as God, which is exist, but not be hands-on.
Yeah.
And also not put himself in the story, because that's where Chuck went wrong.
Right.
So, but yeah, it ends with Sam and Dean, you know, they can now write their own story because no one's writing their story for them. And they drive off into the sunset, like you said.
Yep. So, yeah. We're almost there.
One episode to go. It's called Carry On. We need to get a nice Carry On Our Way. Happening.
Yeah. It's probably the most fitting title for the end of the series.
Yep. I got to say, I am excited to finally see the series be over, because I'm excited to see how they're going to wrap it up. Are we going to get a good finish to the show? Or are we going to get a satisfying completion to Sam and Dean? Or are we going to leave it open-ended? Or after 15, I cannot believe this show went 15 seasons.
I know. It should not have gone on this long. I know it's almost a joke at this point between us, but yeah. Holy shit, 15 seasons. It's insane. It's like seeing Family Guy on the 19th season, and they've been canceled like 3 times.
Exactly. Like I said, I watched the first episode of Law & Order SVU.
Yes. I want to hear a little bit more about this.
Well, it's just, it was too... I mean, you know, it opens up with, this is not based on actual events or whatever, and then it opens up with a guy in the park, and he is recording a white woman, a Karen, as they refer to it, who's recording him, And basically, you remember a few months ago, some woman recorded, you know, it was big false accusations that this black guy was scaring his child and threatening him, this and that, and the guy was just going for a jog.
Yep.
That's what this was. And they did a lot of George Floyd stuff and the defund the police stuff. And it was just, you know, I'm not saying I don't believe in any of those things. I have my own opinions about everything, but I watch TV for escape, and I don't watch TV to watch what's mirroring what's happening in the world right now. You know, yep. 20 years from now, when you're watching that, it's like, yeah, that's how it was. You know, like that's one thing, you know, or 10 years from now, even. But right now, it's just, it's too close to home. Like, I just, I don't want to watch stories about things that are happening right now, because I can watch the news to see that. I don't want to watch a show that's supposed to be entertainment to see that. And maybe someone will say down the line that they are cutting edge and they're up to date. But shrug my shoulders.
You know, it used to be that when you'd see a show that said ripped from the headlines, you'd be like, oh, okay, this is going to be one of those big new headline stories. And now it's like ripped from the headlines. Fuck, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I don't like looking at the headlines.
Yeah. That is 1,000% true right there. I don't want to watch the headlines. Like, I don't. That is not what I want right now at all. This is us.
We've got This Is Us, and we've got Mandalorian is last, and we've got Hellstrom, which we forgot to talk about last week. So we've got two episodes.
That's the one we forgot to talk about last week.
Yes. So what you think? And the week before, we had forgotten about the other one there, Staged.
Yeah. What did you think about this?
I think the biggest tragedy of Hellstrom is that we're most likely, I mean, like 99% chance, only going to get one season. I think that's a tragedy, because it is a good show, and I feel like we're just starting to understand these characters. You know, Damon and Anna, we get little flashbacks, and we get to see little bits of their powers and their abilities, but they're not clubbing us over the head with it, and they're not fully explaining everything. So I like that. It's a slow drip, and we get to see, like, ooh, they've got this. Ooh, they've got this. You know, he can pull demons out of people and essentially exorcise them, I guess. They both seem to have telekinetic powers. But she is more along the lines of feeding off of negative energy in people. She sucks evil out of people, I guess. I really dig this show. Their father is back and he's coming for them. The most recent episode, we got to see Mom locked inside of her head with the other demon. And it's so funny, ever since Dirk Gently, I can recognize Fiona Dourif immediately. As soon as she showed up as the demon in her head, I was like, oh, I think that's Fiona. And I looked it up. Yep. That's her.
Sure as hell it is.
Yep. She seems to be getting a lot of work these days.
Good for her.
So are you still liking the show?
I am. I enjoy the show. But yeah, at the same time, it's like, I know we're getting this one season, and that's it. If they haven't officially canceled it yet, you know they will, because they've canceled everything else. And this is really the last Marvel TV show from that Marvel Studios before it got absorbed when, you know, when they did the restructuring and canceled everything else.
Right.
So yeah, this will definitely be the only season we get, I bet.
Yeah, it's kind of the same reason, like, I've got all those episodes from the CW of Swamp Thing on my DVR, and I haven't brought myself to pull the trigger for the same reason. I've heard how good it is. I've heard how amazing it is, but I know it's only one season, and I don't know if I really want to invest in it for that.
Yep. No, I get it. I 100% get it. I've been thinking about, speaking of that, did you see the New Mutants is out on home video already?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I'll probably check that out. I wonder if Amazon has it.
Pre-sale? Maybe it was pre-sale. Hold on. Maybe it was a pre-order thing. But no, I'm pretty positive. I was looking at the Walmart Black Friday stuff, and I'm like, fucking, New Mutants already?
Yeah, I could. Oh, I could pre-order. Available November 17th.
It comes out tomorrow.
Yep.
It comes out tomorrow on DVD, Blu-ray, and ultra high def Blu-ray.
Yep.
That is a movie I do want to watch.
Just
because I want to see the fact that it was originally supposed to be released on April 13th, 2018, and it didn't get released until August 2020, 2.5 years later, during a pandemic when theaters basically weren't opened.
And don't forget that this was also after... what's its face there? After the Fox movie studio was sold off to Disney. So it went through a sale of studio as well. Should have been buried. Yeah. Wasn't buried.
Yeah. It's been buried and resurrected multiple times.
Yep.
This Is Us. What are your thoughts on This Is Us?
I think there's a lot of things that I think. This was another one of those very full episodes where there was a lot of stuff going on, and each person, like, I had individual things with each one of them that it was like, oh, that's going to be a thing. Oh, that's going to be a thing. For starters, I think that I love the fact that Milo Ventimiglia, or however you pronounce it, Milo V., still gets to be on this show despite the fact that he's been dead all this time. You know, his character's been dead.
Yep. Yet they find new ways to keep bringing him back.
Right. I think that Randall's therapist isn't going to be his therapist. I see this guy lasting like one or two sessions.
Yep.
And then him either moving on, or he doesn't like something that the guy says and leaves. Sticking with Randall, I totally get, I knew he was going to kind of take Tess's side with the video that she made because of her whole, you know, you need to stand up, and if you don't say anything, then you're just as bad as the oppressors. So I knew he was going to like resonate with that and be like, yeah, my girl's standing up for Black lives and stuff like that. But yeah. I definitely got what his wife was saying, which is, she can't do that. You know, this is not the right thing to do. You don't go make a video, put it on the internet, basically call out your teachers and call them names and tell them that they're assholes.
Yeah, like, no, you don't do that at all.
You just, that's the wrong way to do things. And when they confronted her about it and they're like, you should have told her to stop touching your hair. Well, I did. Well, did she stop touching it? Yeah, but she touched other people's hair. Well, then it's not your problem. It's their problem. Well, no, I'm standing up for them.
I can't sit down with this, all this oppression going on.
So I 6 weeks, they grounded her for 6 weeks, took away her phone for 6 weeks. I like too, when she was like, he's like, you're losing your phone for 6 weeks. She's like, well, what if I'm out of the house? Oh, you're not going to be out of the house.
Yeah.
And when she calls him fascist. Too. Yeah. She's like, fascist, this is bull. And he's like, yeah, you finish that sentence, you could tack on another 3 weeks. Okay.
But you know what? Actions have consequences.
Yes. And it's nice that they're teaching her that.
Yeah. Your actions have consequences.
On Kevin's side, I get it. I appreciated the fact that, you know, Madison was like, dude, you can't be talking to me about all this, you know, body ripped, building muscles, abs, looking all shirtless and gorgeous. And, you know, she's been bulimic most of her life, and she has body positivity issues and body dysmorphia. And so she is supposed to be gaining weight with these babies, yet that runs counter to every inch of her being. So
I really appreciated what she said to Kevin though, about all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. That she just like opened right up.
You know, little things like, I need to know that when I get on the scale and it says I gained 2 pounds, that I have to be like, oh, okay, it's okay for my babies. That's how it should be, as opposed to my brain when I think I have, I want to hate myself and go throw up, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I really appreciated everything she said. And so it bothers me when you don't eat the breakfast that I make, not because I made you breakfast, but because you're like, oh, I just can't eat that, but I have to force myself to eat. Or I don't know. It's like when Madison was going to the Overeaters Anonymous or going to the group that Kate was in for her eating disorder. And basically everyone there, like Kate was just like, look how skinny you are. You don't need to be here. And she's again, like, you know, you have no right to question my eating issues that I'm having,
mm-hmm.
type of thing. So I appreciate it. And that just built on that more today, or if you will, yep. You know what I mean?
And then Kevin basically tells her that, you know, he's got his own demons. And yep. Of course, you know, he lays them all out there, but you know, that for him, his looks were what always got him by. And we've all kind of known that, but he finally admits it. You know, he says, my looks have been my stock and trade. Like, they were my currency in Hollywood. They were the only thing that got me work. They were the only thing that I thought brought me value. And so his is different than hers, but he has his own body issues as a result of that. So, you know, he beats himself up if he doesn't get in 2 workouts a day, and, you know, he has to stick to strict diets and blah, blah, blah. So it was nice that they could kind of bond over that, because like they said, you know, we're basically strangers who are going to have kids together, and we decided to shack up right as a pandemic started. So we don't have a choice otherwise.
Right. Yeah. We've kind of done all this the wrong way. No, I actually appreciate how they're handling it and what they're doing personally.
Yep. Now, as far as Kate's side of the fence, I feel like the woman that they interviewed was just a little bit too perfect. You know, she admitted that the face mask. Yeah. She's like, oh, I looked you up on social media and I saw that you were a big Steelers fan. So I bought this face mask special for this just to kind of be an icebreaker. Okay, that's great. But then the fact that, like, she had the Ghostbusters theme on her phone, and she said that she had named her daughter Willow after Willow from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, it was almost too staged. And she even said that, like, when they had that argument over the diapers and he wanted to stockpile and she didn't. And then this girl's like, oh, yeah, me and my ex, like, we used to argue over condiments. He always wanted to stock up on condiments, and we always had arguments about that. Like, she was even usurping their story, just putting her own twist on it.
Yeah, and it's kind of different because Toby's like, we cannot get too attached because this is a grown woman who could at any moment change her mind and decide, no, I'm keeping my kid. Because basically her ex-husband had died, and she has her child with her ex-husband, allegedly died or went away. Huh?
I was like, we got to do allegedly here because, again, she's a little. Oh,
yeah.
And he might still be in the picture.
Right. That's true. And we see that she basically decided, oh, it's time for me to date. Went on her first date, went to a bar with the guy, met the guy at the bar. She got drunk. They had sex. She got pregnant. And she's so now like, I don't want
to get rid of the kid.
Yeah, I don't want to raise this child on my own. Another thing we met a young Asian girl, like 10 maybe. And we met her grandfather. And yes. They're talking Mandarin or Cantonese to each other. I think it's Mandarin or Cantonese. And they're making a meal.
Well, first they're fishing.
Yeah, we see them at the beginning fishing, and then we see them cooking, and then he's making this meal, and basically he's telling her, like, you got to make this with your heart, basically, et cetera. And the little granddaughter's like, oh, you know, is that for the – basically, like, did you used to make this for the woman that's in all the pictures? And he's like, yes, I did. Yes, it is the woman that's in all the pictures. And then they finally focus in on this old picture of apparently a younger version of him. And a woman that appears to be Randall's mother that we thought was dead, who is apparently still dead from what it seems like, but she lived a few more years before she died again.
Maybe.
And maybe had her own kids.
Well, we don't know if this woman in the picture is dead or just not in his life anymore.
I know, but they definitely implied that she wasn't around.
Right. And the girl said,
still very deeply in love with her.
And that's the thing, is the girl said, you know, is it the woman in the picture? She didn't say, is it grandma? So,
right.
So his granddaughter is not from that woman, allegedly.
So we shall see. But they introduce a couple new characters.
Yep. Yeah, that therapist, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't have much faith in that, quite frankly. Soulmates.
Yes, the finale.
We got the season finale of Soulmates.
Holy
to
crap,
talk about.
This took a turn, huh?
Holy fuck. All right, so every episode has basically been about don't meet your soulmate or your soulmate's not necessarily your perfect match, et cetera, et cetera. So it starts out with this woman named Caitlin talking to a guy at a bar. And he says that she met her soulmate but they didn't work out because I didn't like the way he treated women. He never did anything to me, but I just didn't like how he treated women. And then we get a
history.
Then we get a flashback. And the flashback is her with her boyfriend, Doug, who's a piece of shit, like slug.
The worst kind. Not even an abusive person. He couldn't be physically abusive if he tried because he's too damn lazy.
Right. But like, hey, but why don't you do that? Like, basically, he's kind of a sluggy leech who, when she's like, I want to break up, he's like, yeah, we're not breaking up.
Yeah, he's like, I help with rent. She goes, no, you pay for the sports channel. He's like, yeah.
And they had kind of like, they're kind of together out of don't want to be alone. But if they've ever met their match for soulmate, their soulmate match, if they ever got one, that they would end their relationship. And so when she gets her match, she's like, all right, I'm going to go meet him, but we're going to end this. And Doug's like, I don't think so. And she goes to meet her soulmate and they get along well together and she loves him and they're just so great together. And she's always been a doormat for everybody around her in her life. And she's finally standing up for herself, starting with Doug and then this coworker. And then she goes over to his house. And she finds that he is murdering someone.
Well, you skipped a little bit there. Basically, he ghosts her for like, what, a week, week and a half? Like, she sends a message saying, I'm thinking of you. No response. And then suddenly he calls her at like 3 a.m. and he's like, hey, I've been thinking of you. I've been busy. And she's like, okay. And he's like, come over to my place. I want to show you something. He specifically says, I've got something to show you. And she goes over there. And like you said, she's standing outside the door and watches him brutally murder this woman.
Yeah, she sees him with this girl and they're kind of kissing. And she's like, why would you invite me over just to fucking do this in front of me? But then he murders her.
Yep.
And basically he's like, well, I wanted to know if you had the same tendencies as me. Because if you're my soulmate, you must like to kill people as well. And now we see a slow unveiling of how Caitlin does apparently want to murder everybody. And she starts fantasizing about murdering Doug a lot.
Dude, come on. Didn't you kind of want to murder Doug?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then we see, like, she decides that she needs to be with Nathan, even though he's a serial killer, because I guess that's who she thinks she is. So she tries to call Doug, but Doug's voicemail is basically him crying, saying he's out of town or something, or he calls her crying.
He's going to be upstate seeing a doctor, which is 100% the truth.
Yeah, that's true. So Caitlin tracks him down, finds Doug all chained up in a chair, and basically Nathan's like, kill him. You need to kill him. And so she does, and she feels great about it. And then
she doesn't just kill him. She does just what she told him. Because she said that to Doug at one point. She's like, sometimes at night I fantasize about stabbing you in the stomach and seeing how long it'll take you to bleed out. And all he says to her is, yeah, you're a mess, and walks away because he's that friggin' lazy. And so that's what she does to him while he's hanging there. She stabs him once in the stomach and just stands back and watches.
And then Nathan, the serial killer, is like, I love you. And she's like, I love you. And then they embrace. And then he kills her.
No.
Sorry, she kills him.
Yeah.
Sorry. She kills him. And we go back to the beginning where she's talking to this guy in the bar and basically like, well, even though I'm no longer with my soulmate, you know, he really helped me see who I really am. And so basically we just, it's implied that she now goes around murdering people. So yeah, this episode like, got fucking dark.
Yeah. The guy's like, I'm a doctor. And she's like, can I tell you a secret? I kind of have a thing for doctors. Really? Yeah, it got dark, but I would dare say, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is one of the first anthology series that I've seen in a little while that really felt like an anthology series.
Oh, no, this totally did, because each episode was a standalone story unto itself. The only underlining theme that ran from each episode was the whole soulmates idea.
Yep, they had one common thread, which was that company doing the test to find your soulmate. But every story was not only unique.
Black Mirror has a common thread of just like technology is the common thread that links their stories together.
Yes.
Or potential technology type of thing. So no. If they did a second season of this show, I'd watch the hell out of it. So
me too. It was really well done. And every story not only was unique to itself, but the messages were unique. Yeah, you got a lot of the repetitive, like, don't meet your soulmate for whatever reason, but they were always a different type, you know, whether it was the guy who got his passport stolen or the couple who wanted to open things up or the first one there where they thought they had the perfect relationship and then said, well, I'm supposed to be with somebody else. It was nice. It was nice to have different twists on the stories.
Yeah. It was. And like I said, I would definitely watch the hell out of it if I could again, I guess.
I agree.
All right. The last show we have to talk about is The Mandalorian, correct?
Yep. So we're going to skip past that.
But we do have some movies. I watched 11 movies.
You may as well start talking because I only watched one.
Okay. So last Friday was Friday the 13th. So I watched Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives, because it's my favorite of the franchise.
Outstanding.
And Voodoo had a great deal that you pointed out to me that day. The first 8 films for $13 digital, high def. And I know you took advantage of that. I took advantage of that. And I know several other people that did. So that was a very, very, very good deal. I know Kanan was excited as shit when he's like texting me, we got all the Friday the 13th movies. Because he has my Voodoo on his.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were just like, hey, guess what?
No.
Saw them pop up.
He has Voodoo. Apparently he logged into Voodoo to watch a movie. And he was looking like he wanted to see what I had. Because he knew I had a couple of the Friday the 13ths on there. I actually had Part 6 individually already. I had bought digitally, and then I had purchased 9, 10, and 11. Jason Goes to Hell, Jason X, and Jason versus Freddy. Unofficially 11, obviously. And so he was going to go watch one of those, but then he saw the bundle of 1 through 8, and he was like, yeah, and he watched Part 1. So I watched Friday the 13th Part 6, and then I told you about Never Hike Alone, correct?
Yes, you did, and then Never Hike Alone in the Snow.
So there's Never Hike Alone, there's Never Hike Alone the Snow, and then there's another one called Disappearance, and it's like a music video that's only about 4 minutes long and chronologically takes place before first in the storyline. Well, on Friday the 13th, kind of real quietly, they unveiled a new Ghost Cut, I think they call it.
Okay.
And it's all three of these properties, Disappearance, Never Hike Alone the Snow, and Never Hike Alone, all edited together in one kind of like 85 minute feature length with little cutarounds in between, like new footage of news reports or this or that in between each one, kind of tying them all together because they are already tied together in their own little canon. And I ended up watching that because I just watched Hike in the Snow. So I did fast forward through that, most of that, but I did watch the Disappearance music video, which is fantastic. And then the Never Hike Alone first one, because I hadn't seen that in over a year. So those guys do a great job, especially for fan film, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From the sounds of it, everything you described, they definitely do.
Yeah. I really liked it a lot. Kate and I watched, a documentary called Jasper Maul. on Amazon Prime. And it's basically about this mall in Alabama that is faced with the fact that their anchor stores, Kmart and JCPenney, are both closed. The businesses are closing throughout the mall. So it's kind of more like it's a human interest. It's about 85 minutes long, I think. And I don't know, it was nothing tremendous, but it's just kind of like, hey, this is an example of what's happening all over the United States with malls, because malls are kind of becoming a passe thing.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. That does sound interesting, because you're right. You know, malls used to be the thing. I remember multiple times being like, hey, I got the day off, let's go to the mall. And you could walk around.
So we would drive to Portland, you know, an hour away, because that was our closest big mall, and we would spend several hours walking around the mall. Yeah.
Yeah. Visiting different stores, seeing what was new, shopping or not shopping.
Court.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hitting arcade. The food court, going to the arcade. You know, you go to the three different movie stores, and you would browse through the movies, because we didn't have the internet then to buy anything we wanted or search everything that way. So you discovered new releases and re-releases by browsing through the films on the shelf. Same thing with books, same thing with everything else. But the internet has definitely been a big contributor to the downfall of the mall.
Absolutely.
I watched A Better Tomorrow, the 2010 South Korean version of that film. That's something I did. Moving on.
Okay.
I watched Taxi Driver.
The original?
You know, Robert De Niro, the original, yeah. I had never seen the whole thing. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to watch this. So I put it on one day when I was at work, quote fingers, sitting here at the table, and kind of let it run. Watched a film called Mile 22. I had watched it before, but I put it on as kind of like, hey, I'm just going to throw this on while I'm doing other stuff. And then I end up watching the whole damn thing. Really what it was is I wanted to see Iko Uwais beat people up. And it was on Netflix. And I didn't have to go put a DVD in. So I watched that. And I forgot how good that actually was. It's with Mark Wahlberg's in it. The girl that played Maggie on Walking Dead, I can't think of her name. She's in it.
Lauren Cohen.
Yeah, there we go. Ronda Rousey, Iko Uwais, John Malkovich. Yeah. Good flick. Good story. I had actually completely forgotten about the ending. So that was a nice surprise.
I don't think I've seen that one.
You haven't? Oh, you usually watch it then. It's a great flick. It's on Netflix. It's called Mile 22. You should absolutely watch it. It's like a little spy espionage kind of psychological thriller type movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of another psychological type thriller movie I watched on HBO, I mean on Netflix, it's called The Last Thing He Wanted. And that's probably popped up in your feed a shit ton. It's the one with Ben Affleck and Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
She's a journalist in 1984, and. So, all right, here's the deal. I didn't hate the film. It's very slow, and really the best reason for watching it is the end.
Okay. I got to tell you, the trailer that I watched and then I believe sent to you way back didn't do anything to convince me to watch it.
I know. Yeah, I kind of watched it because it's Anne Hathaway and Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
It's got 5% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ouch.
The site's critic consensus reads, it'll be the last thing most viewers want to.
Good play on words.
Yeah, let's see here. Okay. Nick Allen, a critic on Roger Ebert, wrote, and I found this was funny. Incomprehensible to an almost impressive degree, a true Netflix original film paradox. Not even a pause and rewind button at the ready will help make much sense. And then Benjamin Lee of The Guardian wrote, the two-hour film packed with too much and somehow not enough. The last thing he wanted is the one thing that no one wanted.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's worth to put on while you're doing other stuff.
Really? It doesn't sound like it'd be worth anything.
All right, fuck it. So basically, she's a journalist in 84, and she's one of those, like, old Lois Lane diehards, got to get the story and got to buck the system and got to, you know, cross the line and this and that and everything to get this story. Okay. She gets basically pulled off her El Salvador case because someone doesn't want her in there anymore. She gets put into covering the 1984 presidential elections. Her father starts to die. He's an arms dealer, but he's losing his mind and he fucked over the wrong people. So they're setting him up to take the fall for something. But mm-hmm. because he's kind of going crazy, he gets her to, he's getting like dementia and shit. He keeps forgetting his wife is dead. So he gets her to go down to Central America for this arms deal that he has started, but she doesn't really know what's going on, but she does it mostly because there could be a good story out of this. Okay. And it's also tied into the Iran-Contra affair. And basically she gets down there and they try to fuck her over and then these people want to kill her. And then the people that are trying to help her, we find out at the end, she's running away from. And the guy that she runs to, Ben Affleck, who works for the CIA and is supposed to be a good guy, ends up killing her at the end. And the story that they push to it is that she was a journalist gone bad, running arms for her dead dad who was found dead, and on and on and on. So
okay,
it's got kind of a good twist. The storyline is good in itself. It's just it takes forever to get there. And there's too much other part that sucks. Probably this would be better like a 45-minute episode of TV than an hour and 15-minute long movie.
Well, now I'm definitely glad that I didn't watch it. Thank you for saving me a couple hours.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm going to give you one that I'm going to give you a hard push on.
Okay.
It's on Amazon. It's Amazon Original or Amazon Prime maybe. I don't know. It's called Extracurricular Activities.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen that pop up in your feed or anything.
Let me go look it up right now.
Suggested to
while you're talking. Extra curricular activities. Included with Prime Video. Reagan Collins is a model high school student with a killer after school job.
Yeah.
He arranges accidents. Okay. Add to watch list.
I like the hell out of it. I really enjoyed the film. I thought it was good. Definitely worth your time.
So, because I see there's that one, and then there's Extracurricular, which is four overachieving high school friends have a secret pastime planning and executing murders. That's not the one you're talking about.
No, this one's a comedy. More this Extracurricular Activity is more like a comedy thriller type thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So Kate and I had a movie day on Saturday where we watched the original Alfred Hitchcock Psycho. Last week we watched the week before we watched The Birds, and then this week Psycho. So this coming weekend she wants to watch Rear Window.
Okay.
Yeah. You've seen the original Psycho, I'm assuming.
But yes.
Yeah, it's a good flick.
Absolutely. It's a good movie.
And then that got over. Yeah, it's a good movie. So we finished that, and then she's like, do you want to watch another movie? I'm like, yeah. She's like, what do you want to watch? I'm like, I don't know. And she's kind of making dinner, and I'm looking in the night. You want to watch Dances with Wolves? I haven't seen it in forever. She's like, yes, I love that movie. I haven't seen it in so long. You know, that's 3 hours long.
Yes.
I forgot. It's been that long since I've seen it. But we watched that. That's a fantastic movie. You know, at the beginning, when everyone's getting shot and he's riding through the field with his, you know, on his little suicide run because he doesn't, you know, they think they're going to cut his foot off and he'd rather be dead than lose his foot.
Right.
So Wesley's down on the couch and we're watching this. And by the by, we watched Psycho with him down on the couch. But other than the shower scene, it's not really scary. It's more psychological than anything.
Right.
And he had his headphones on and he wasn't paying attention to the TV anyhow because he was playing on this tablet. playing games. And his headphones died, so he takes them off. We're watching the opening scene of Dances with Wolves, where, again, the big shootout, the big, you know, the army battle, people are getting killed, shot in the head and murdered, this and that, whatever. Not murdered, but, you know, dying in war. And Wesley just goes, I don't think you guys should be watching this in front of me.
You got owned by your kid.
I don't think you guys should be watching this in front of me. And so we had a laugh. So he went upstairs and sat on his bed. And his cousin called him anyways, and they played some game together. They call on Messenger. It's like him and his cousin, and then another little girl, Freya, who's the daughter of one of Kate's friends. And they get on, and Addison sometimes, and then sometimes with Addison's friends. And the big group of them get on Messenger, Facebook Kids Messenger, and they just call each other. And they have this big call group thing going on, all of them together, and they play like Among Us or Roblox or something together. It's cute.
That is cute.
Yeah. And then I only watched one other movie. I know. Holidate.
And I had seen this one the week before that.
Yeah. Kate and I watched this together, probably Wednesday or something. Because I said to her, hey, do you want to watch a movie? She was like, yeah, what do you want to watch? I'm like, Holiday. She's like, I don't want to watch a Christmas movie. I'm like, it's not a Christmas movie. It's about a people. It's about, you know, guy and a girl, and they have their holiday who, instead of going to these parties alone or as a single, they just go together. So that way they don't have to worry about their friends or family setting them up. So, of course, you know, they're going to fall in love with each other by the end of it. She's like, okay, I'll watch that. That's exactly what happened. It was predictable, but I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yep, and that's exactly what I thought of it. It was very predictable. All the notes that you expected to be hit were hit. It was very funny. It was charming. But there was literally nothing in this that you haven't seen a million times before in a million different rom-coms. Still exactly. A great movie.
Yes. Still a very good movie. Still very enjoyable. Still very much worth your time. I mean, I really, really liked it a lot.
Me too. I would
watch
it again.
What's the movie you watched?
So I had sent you that thing where, and I talked about it on here before, where Amazon was like, hey, watch 8 hours worth of content this month from this list of things. And
yes.
We'll give you like $5 towards Cheez-Its. And well, I got it. I got the little credit thing. So that's cool. Meant putting some movies on in the background while I was doing other stuff, but whatever. But the one movie that I watched on that list that I hadn't seen before was The Circle. And this is the one that when I saw the preview originally, I thought it was like a Facebook kind of thing. And it is, and it isn't. It's got Tom Hanks. It's got Patton Oswalt. The main character is Emma Watson. And it's got Karen Gillian in it. And it's interesting. I liked it, but I also can't give it a hard sell. It keeps changing. Like, the movie keeps being different. It starts off and the Circle is basically, it's this big company and the Circle is their social media thing. And it's as insidious as Facebook or Instagram, you know, where they peddle ads to you based on what you do. But everybody has it. And the company's trying to find new ways to like connect with people. Tom Hanks is like the head of the company, and he introduces these little tiny cameras that he puts up in places because he pitches this whole big story about how, you know, he always wanted to know when the best surfing was. And it used to be that you'd have to like call up people in the area and ask them or, you know, read the weather reports or something. And he goes, and then, you know, somebody finally had a static camera where you could see the ocean and you could see what it was. And then he put up an image and he goes, see this? And it was all blurry. You know, it was old, like dial up modem kind of stuff. He's like, so that didn't help. So he created a new small camera that could go out of the way and look at the surf. And he wanted to put that up in other places so that other people could have that kind of stuff. By the end of the movie, it was very different. Like, it kind of, the whole thing kind of evolved. Like, then it turned into one character walking around with one of those cameras on and sharing everything in their life with everybody else because they were almost cult-like. You know, she's like, oh, I went out kayaking. And they're like, we would have gone kayaking with you. We love kayaking. She's like, well, I just wanted to get away. And they kind of guilted her by saying, you hadn't experienced kayaking. How dare you not share that with the rest of the world? Like, let other people experience the joy of kayaking that you had and blah, blah, blah. It was very interesting. Again, I can't give it a hard sell, but it's definitely worth a look if you've got it might have been over 2 hours. If you're trying to do that Cheez-It thing by the end of the month, though, you may want to throw this one on as one of your movies.
Okay.
It's free on Prime, and it's pretty good. It's not awesome, but it was watchable. It was definitely something that made me think of
some things. This is a show that I watched.
Well, it made me think of some things afterwards, and yeah.
Okay.
That's all I've got to say about that.
All right.
Trailers?
News and notes and stuff. Trailers?
Yep.
What you got there?
I sent you one for We Are the Champions. I can't wait for this to come out. This is a Netflix reality documentary type thing about six remarkably obscure sports around the world, like the cheese chase, where they roll wheels of cheese down a hill and people chase after them. And these are like legitimate sports where people, you know, country pride. It looks great. Rainn Wilson narrates it. Like, I think you said that you wanted to watch the fuck out of it.
Oh, I do. I want to watch the absolute fuck out of this. It looks amazing.
Along that same line, there was a Disney Plus is going to have something called Inside Pixar soon, which is going to be a multiple episode series dealing with inside of Pixar, like where they started, what a day in the life is like, what goes into their movies. I think it looks fascinating.
It does look really good.
I also sent you one for Breach. I can't even believe that this is a thing, but Bruce Willis in another Alien movie.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Like you say, oh, it's Bruce Willis. Oh, it must be big. Well, it's also got Rachel Nichols in it. Wait, who's she? Oh, remember, she's that girl that showed up in like Continuum and a couple other things, and she's from Maine. So, you know, she kind of had some clout there. But yeah.
She's a liberal cop.
Yep. Yeah.
Back in the day.
So, yeah, that's a movie that's coming out. It looks really cheesy. Jiu-Jitsu, you mentioned. This is a Nicolas Cage movie. Don't know if we need to.
Okay, so I just got to say, it's dumb when they say, you are the Jiu-Jitsu, because it is. No one really thinks of, like, you think of karate. You're the karate master. You're the kung fu master. You're the samurai. You're the this, you're the that. No one thinks about jiu-jitsu the same way.
Nope. They will now.
I don't know about that. but it does look pretty amazing.
Basically, the concept is that there's a comet that flies across the sky every 6 years. That seems a little fast. Like, if it was every 60 years or 600 years, sure. But every 6 years?
Yeah.
And apparently, what's that?
Yeah, every 6 years.
Yeah. So when the comet passes through the sky, it opens up a portal and this alien comes through that is definitely not the Predator, but, you know, is basically the Predator if the Predator wore a fencing outfit. And this alien is looking to have a good fight. So he's going to take on the Chosen Jiu-Jitsu, which in this case is like six of them, including Tony Jaa. And Nicolas Cage is narrating all this and talking to these people, telling them that they're the Chosen Jiu-Jitsu. And basically, they have to fight this alien back.
Sells too, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. If they don't fight the alien back, if they don't provide him with a good enough fight, then he will stay on Earth and just kill everything. So the whole thing is to give him a good enough fight so that he goes back for 6 years.
But realistically, all right, so it stars Nicolas Cage. Course.
Yeah.
It also has I'm gonna murder his name, Alain Musi. He was more of a stuntman type guy, but he played the Kurt Sloan in the Kickboxer Vengeance and Kickboxer Retaliation flicks, where Jean-Claude Van Damme plays the old guy in those. You know what I mean? He plays a Jean-Claude Van Damme character, while Jean-Claude Van Damme plays the Miyagi character in it, if you will.
And which is interesting because the director of this did that one of those kickboxer movies.
He directed Kickboxer Retaliation, yeah. He had a small role on Titans. And then he did some, he's done a lot of stunt work as well. But he's got some skills. I really enjoyed him in the Kickboxer flicks. I watched him for nostalgia purposes, but I enjoyed them.
Yep.
Frank Grillo was in it.
Yeah.
Frank Grillo has been in so much stuff lately, from big budget to low budget flicks, you know, End of Watch, Winter Soldier, Zero Dark Thirty, Warrior, The Gray, The Purge Anarchy,
Captain America.
Captain America, yeah. He's been in a lot of the Marvel flicks. It also stars, like you said, Tony Jaa and Rick Yoon. And then Juju Chan is the girl, the blonde, the blonde Chinese girl in the movie. She's been called, and I don't know if I, the female Bruce Lee. She's supposed to be amazing, but she was in the new Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon flick. She was in the Wu Assassin series on Netflix. But she's also like a legitimate black belt in multiple levels of martial arts and has won some pretty significant competitions and everything. So.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, and she's also won some Thai boxing championships. So she's got skills.
Damn.
Yeah. She's definitely got some skills.
And then the last trailer that I shared with you was Big Mouth Season 4, which is dropping December 4th.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
I can't wait for this. The new monster that's being introduced is the Anxiety Mosquito. And whereas we got the Depression Cat, like, for a little bit of the last season, you know, here and there, it looks like the Anxiety Mosquito is affecting everyone. And I'm really excited about that. This is a great show. Like, if you haven't watched this show, you really owe it to yourself to watch it. If you like anything that is funny, if you like anything that is realistic, I mean, granted, it's an animated show and everything is over the top. I guess I can't really say realistic in the sense that there are monsters and people fucking pillows, but it's all about puberty and hormones and what it's like being a kid in those confusing times and dealing with that kind of shit. And it's just phenomenal. I can't believe I still look back on the fact that you watched the first season and gave me a hard sell. And I was like, meh, whatever. And I never watched it until one day I was just like, I'll throw this on, whatever. And I just fell in love with it. So that was one of the few times that I didn't take one of your recommendations and regretted it later.
I should teach you a lesson then.
Nope, it did not.
No. And now I'm pretty sure you love the show more than I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that I'm way more of a Big Mouth fan.
You definitely love it more than I do, but I do enjoy it. So.
Yeah. That was it for trailers. You got any news stuffs?
Well, I sent you that news about Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah.
And basically, the creator talks about what he would like to have seen in season 4 and the thing. But he also talked about that he's hoping once this pandemic is over, he really wants to bring the show back. Like he's working really hard to get that fourth season done. So that'd be pretty awesome if they pulled that one off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of my only news. Did you have any news?
Oh yes, sir. I have some news, sir.
Okay.
WandaVision has been pushed back, but they gave us a solid premiere. It will premiere January 15th, 2021. There'll be 6 episodes. The first episode was filmed in black and white and did have a live studio audience.
Cool.
I think that's awesome. For some ungodly reason, and I didn't even read heavily into the article because I didn't care. I'm so mad about this. They're doing a remake of Short Circuit.
Oh, I kind of read about that quite a while ago.
Well, there's new movement on it, apparently, because it's showing up on my feed again this week.
Okay.
That pisses me off. Seth Rogen, I'm sure you know who that is, him and his Point Grey partners, Evan Goldberg, Josh Fagan, and James Weaver, are going to be creating a horror movie that's called Video Nasty. And the script reportedly follows three teens who rent a cursed VHS and are pulled into an 80s slasher movie that threatens to trap them forever. I'm there.
I'm sold. I can watch that.
Wonder Woman 1984, it looks like it's going to be, when it finally makes its way to theaters, within 2 weeks it should be on HBO Max.
Really?
Yep. That came out of a couple of different sources this week, so I'd be excited about that.
Ooh. Oh, I saw another thing.
Yeah.
Actually, about Snyder Cut.
Oh, Jesus.
So, apparently, he's got all kinds of footage, you know, that he had shot that was cut from the movie that he still possesses or has access to or whatever it is that he's putting back in the film.
Masturbates too nightly.
Sure. And he talked about how they had to shoot new footage for the movie to fix some things.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't have to shoot with everybody. Only certain actors like Henry Cavill and everything. And it's going to cost $30 million. For him to shoot the new footage and to edit the movie back together, you know, in his vision and this and that, and do the post-production and all that stuff on it.
Jesus Christ.
Would you care to guess how many minutes of footage is new that he needs to shoot?
Ooh, okay. For $30 million, I'm going to say 10 minutes.
4 minutes.
Oh, I almost said five and I was like, no, give him the benefit of the doubt. 4 minutes. Of film.
4 minutes.
Oh, what a pretentious cocksucker.
Doesn't it make you hate him more and more as every day passes?
It really does. Like, this man, and again, it's another one of those, kind of like we talk about how Kevin Smith, you know, really helped us in our formative years of film loving with things like Mallrats and Clerks and Chasing Amy. And nowadays it's like, fuck you. You know, Zack Snyder did 300, which was awesome. Like, I loved 300.
I enjoyed it.
And now I look at all this shit that he's producing and I'm like, you need to fucking stop, dude. You need to just knock it the fuck off. Ugh. Anyway. Moving on. Peter Stormare apparently has been telling everybody that there's work being done on a sequel to Constantine.
Oh, I did see a headline, but I didn't read the article.
Yep. He says that they've been talking about it and there's actually, you know, work being done to bring the actors back into it. And I believe it at this point. I would hope that it wouldn't just be Keanu. You know, I would hope that Warner has enough control over that in the DC Extended Universe that they want to make it into a full, you know, DC property, but we'll see.
Well, you know, they retconned him into the comic books.
Yes.
With that one issue where they showed the different versions of Constantine, if you will.
Yep.
I always appreciated that. I thought that was kind of cool how they did that.
Absolutely. I love a good crossover / multiverse. Apparently there's going to be a live action Lilo and Stitch because they're not done butchering Disney movies yet.
No, you know, money.
It's going to be directed by John Chu, the guy who did Crazy Rich Asians.
That was a film that I've heard about.
Yep. I've watched it. It was pretty good.
You watched it?
Oh yeah. It was one of those where it was getting so much praise and so many people were talking about it that I was like, I better check it out. Yeah, it was exactly what I expected.
I am surprised that this is the first I'm hearing of it. Or it's the first I remember hearing of it, at least.
No, I'm pretty sure I talked about it on one of the podcasts.
You probably did, and I just don't remember.
I mean, in your defense, we're up to 238 episodes.
It is hard to remember sometimes if we talked about something 2 weeks ago. So
238 episodes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The past couple of weeks where I send you a message. Hey, did we forget to talk about Hellstrom? Yes, we did. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like I was looking at my Facebook memories today or, you know, on this day. And I think it was 3 years ago or maybe 4 years ago. It was the episode of Legends of Tomorrow with Return of the Mac. Return of the Mac. Oh, my God. And that song was instantly in my head.
Awesome.
And I had to go YouTube that scene.
Yep, there it is. Your memories on Facebook 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 years ago. So, I mean, that was episode 85. So we've been podcasting for, you know, at least a year and a half prior to that. So, yeah, we're...
Love it.
Yeah, it's already been 5 years almost.
What was... Hold on. So, they've been threatening this for a while, but it looks like G4 is going to have a reunion show. G4 TV.
Okay.
They released a small trailer. Ron Funches was doing it. And he basically said that he's put down a bunch of money and he got all these fake props. And now he just needs some of these defunct co-hosts like Olivia Munn and Morgan Webb and Adam Sessler. And he goes, and Kevin whatever his name is, he's calling out for them to come join him. But yeah, apparently it's going to be a very special G4 holiday reunion special. Yes, that has the word special in it twice. It's going to be on Twitch and YouTube Tuesday, November 24th at 9 p.m. It'll then re-air Friday, November 27th on Sci-Fi at midnight. And apparently Chris Hardwick, Sarah Underwood, there's going to be a lot of people there that are former G4.
I like that it's airing on Twitch and YouTube. So it's not actually going to be on a network or a channel. So, but we're having a reunion of a channel.
Mm-hmm.
We're not having a reunion of a TV show. We're having a reunion of a network channel, or not a network channel, but of a television channel that used to exist.
Exactly.
That's a first, I think.
Yep. Yeah, because that was my first thought is, where are they going to put this? The network is gone.
Yeah. That is definitely a first. I mean, like, we also got, they dropped like a trailer or behind the scenes video, if you will, of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion that's going on.
Yeah, I skipped that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that's a TV show that they're doing a reunion of. I think it's going to be on HBO Max, actually.
Oh, okay.
But this is a reunion of people that worked on a TV channel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not hating on
it. What's that?
I said I'm not hating it.
Oh, me either. I was a huge fan of G4 TV. I watched it all the time. Songbird, you remember that trailer that I sent you a couple of weeks ago about the pandemic of COVID-23?
Yes.
The people are locked inside there. Well, they announced today that they are skipping any sort of theatrical release. They're going to go straight to a premium video on demand in December and then follow that with an unspecified streaming service sometime in 2021.
Seems like that's going to be the way of the future for things.
Well, it's funny you said that, Mike, because my next story leads right into that. AMC.
I set you up without even knowing it.
Universal strikes deal with Cinemark to shorten theatrical window. This is, we've covered this a couple of times here, but it's very interesting. So they actually got some solid dollar amounts here. It says Universal's deal making has struck again, and much like AMC, Cinemark has changed their tune. The two companies have reached an agreement that will shorten the theatrical window for all of Universal's films, even after the pandemic comes to an end. The deal states that any Universal movie that opens to $50 million or more at the domestic box office will be available via premium video on demand 31 days after it premieres on the big screen. All other films, so basically if they make less than $50 million at the domestic box office, that fall under the Universal, DreamWorks, or Focus Features banner, will be made available after 17 days. Cinemark and AMC, for that matter, are expected to share in the revenue from these premium video-on-demand releases. So, basically, even after the pandemic, we're going to be getting movies even faster. I mean, you remember when we were kids and, like, something came out in the theaters, it was, what, like a year before it would ever come out on video?
The first time I remember a movie coming out on home video quickly was Jurassic Park. It opened theaters in like June, right around my birthday. So it was in June in 93.
Yep.
And it was out on home video for Christmas.
Yeah.
And that was unheard of. And it was astounding because it was still in theaters.
Yes.
In certain places. Because that's back when movies could be in the theaters for 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
You know, if it was a popular movie.
Yep. And that certainly was.
That is definitely not true today.
No.
But that's the one that stands out in my mind. That's the first time where, because like especially any Disney movie, oh my God, if you didn't go see it in theaters, you weren't watching that bad boy on home video for like 2 years.
Yeah, easily. And then you only had a short window before they put it back in the vault.
Yeah, because Disney was always a very, it took them forever to come out on home video.
Yep, it did.
An excessively long amount of time.
The last piece of news that I had, I saved because it's just too cool. There's a guy who wrote a book that's coming out next July, and the reason that this popped up is because Annapurna has scooped up the rights to it to turn it into a series. The book is called The Final Girl Support Group.
Ooh.
And this is the synopsis. The women in the Final Girl Support Group have been in therapy together for decades, ever since one was attacked by a cannibal family in Texas, one by a machete-wielding maniac at a summer camp, one by an older brother who returned to settle scores on Halloween, one by a lunatic who allegedly entered their dreams.
That's been retconned.
These are middle-aged survivors of the real-life crimes of the slasher movies that they're based on. Some of them are addicts, some are in denial, and some have become motivational speakers. And now the final girls are mysteriously dying one by one.
This is a book?
It's a book that comes out July 13th of next summer.
Oh, fuck. I'm like, I gotta watch. I gotta read that book.
Yeah. I'm excited about it, and I don't usually read books.
I know.
But they're, like I said, they're middle-aged survivors of real-life crimes that the slasher movies are based on. So,
what they've done there, yeah.
Yep. So, that's how he's getting away with it. But I like that. A machete-wielding maniac at a summer camp? Okay.
Yep.
I could absolutely see, you know, somebody out there wanting to mimic that kind of stuff. You know, copycat it.
Oh, sure.
But what a great concept.
That is really cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and it's going to be a TV series. So, yeah.
Amazing. Your book gets optioned for a TV series, you know, 7 months before it's released.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Nice.
So that's all I got from news.
All right. So is that just leaves us with The Mandalorian then?
I believe it does.
What did you think of the episode?
I thought that the episode was awesome. Much better than last week's episode.
Me too.
You were
not the only one that was pissed off at Baby Yoda for his actions of eating the frog woman's eggs.
Yeah. And Lucas, or the people there at Disney, actually came to his defense by saying, they were unfertilized eggs, just like you eat from chickens.
Yep.
Okay, I get it.
But these eggs were the last of her kind.
Yes.
Or were they just the last of her lineage or the last of her race and species lineage?
They were the last of her lineage.
That actually does make a difference.
Yeah, they were just the last of her lineage.
Yeah. So that actually does make a difference.
Yep. But this episode, whereas the last one felt like just kind of a filler monster of the week kind of thing, this one really set up a bigger arching story. Like, in so many ways.
This had tremendous impacts on the overarching storyline of this show, yes.
And I'll let you get into it, but I just got to say real quick that I am so impressed. This is the first time that I can think of that I've seen this happen, but Katie Sackhoff already plays the voice of Bo-Katan in the animated series, and they let her be the actress who plays her here. You know, a lot of people were pissed because Rosario Dawson is going to be Ahsoka Tano, and they didn't get Ashley to be her, you know, since she's the voice of Ahsoka Tano in the cartoon series, why couldn't she be the actress doing this? So I was very happy that they did that with Katie Sackhoff.
Well, because Ashley Eckstein's, she's white.
I get that. I get that they wanted to do that. But Ahsoka Tano was orange.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. That's true.
She was a Twi'lek, and yeah.
And you can't even really say anything to do with age, because Rosario Dawson's actually older than Ashley Eckstein.
Yep.
Anyhow, Chapter 11, the heiress. So the Razor Crest manages to crash land on Trask, hilariously, and then they fall into the water. The Frog Lady's reunited with her husband. And
oh, I'm sorry. She's not a Twi'lek. She's a Torguda. Togruta. Anyway. Somebody was going to get pissed at me for that, so.
Oh, sorry. Anyhow, so she reunites with her husband, and they're happy to be together. And he does direct the Mandalorian to where there's other Mandalorians have been seen. In the bar, Corin there, he's a captain of a ship, a trawler. He says, I'll give you passage to find those Mandalorians. Of course, out to sea, he turns on them, shows them the Mammacore, which is kind of like a, what ate Boba Fett? Sarlacc. He throws the child into the water, and the child closes his little chamber, and the Mammacore there eats him. Mandalorian goes in to save him. They close the cage and they kind of trap him and they're beating him down. And then, because they wanted his Beskar armor is what it comes down to. But then a trio of Mandalorians show up and kill everybody and rescue the child. And then while they're talking, they unmask. And of course the Mandalorian's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And we meet it's Bo-Katan and it's Koska Reeves and it's Axe Wolves. And they take their helmets off. So he automatically, he's like, no, you're not real Mandalorians. Where did you get that armor? And she actually explains the real Mandalorian heritage to him.
Yeah, she's like, this has been in my family for three generations. We're Mandalorians.
Yeah, I think it was more like five generations. It was a long time.
She's basically like, the heiress that's mentioned in the title.
Yes, exactly, because she's looking for the dark saber.
Yep, because she says that's going to help her rule Mandalore again.
Yes, and you know, basically, she explains to him that like the group you were part of, the Watch, if you will, you know, they were a bunch of religious zealots who followed the ancient ways of Mandalore. And mainstream Mandalorian society does not follow those waves anymore.
Right.
But Mandalorian's like, no, that this is the only way. Like, his way is the only way. And she's basically like, no, you're part of a cult. The group that you're part of, very cult-like. We are the original Mandalorians from Mandalore. You know, that is our race. We know that this is the way. And this is how we are. But he's like, no, basically, like, fuck you guys, I'm gone.
Yep.
But once he gets back to land, he's attacked by the brother of the trawler captain. And there's a bunch of them, and they start to go to town on him again. And once again, Bo-Katan comes to help him because she needs his help.
Yep.
She basically tells him that, you know, Imperial remnants still plunder Mandalore and her team is raiding a cargo ship to steal their weapons. And she says, I will give you information that you're looking for and where you can find a Jedi. But I need you to help me. So he takes the child to stay with the Frog Lady. And they head back up. They head out to the ship to steal the weapons, but of course she wants to take the whole ship as well, but she doesn't tell him that, because as always, you know, no one ever reveals the whole plan. They keep things close to the gun and just tell people what they have to tell them, essentially.
Right.
So we get to see a bunch of stormtroopers getting killed, and we get to see them making fun of the stormtroopers, basically saying like, yeah, they're terrible shots, don't worry about anything.
Couldn't hit the broadside of a Bantha.
Yeah. They take over the freighter. They kill everybody. We see the captain making contact with Moff.
Titus Welliver.
Saying, huh? Yeah, Titus Welliver. I'm a big fan of him. Basically saying, like, hey, we need help now. And he's like, yeah, it's too late to help you. We won't get there in time. So just, you know what you need to do.
Well, he starts off, he's like, are these the same pirates that have hit multiple transports of ours? He's like, yes. And they're hitting you again? Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we don't have time to get there, so you know what to do. So he kills the last two members of his crew, and the captain's trying to plummet the freighter, you know, into the earth, if you will, or into the ground to, you know, kill everybody. But, of course, the Mandalorians overtake him, and they level the ship, and Bo-Katan basically is torturing the captain. She's like, I want to know where the Darksaber is. You need to tell me where it is now. And he's like, no, he'll kill me. And basically she's like, "You think? What do you think I'm going to do? So he kills himself because he's more afraid of Gideon Moff than her. So he commits suicide. Normally we see, like, back in the old German war movie days, if you will, it's usually they have like a false tooth that has
cyanide.
Some sort of poison. Huh?
Usually cyanide.
Yeah, cyanide, you know. Instead he smashes his teeth together and you see like an electrical pulse go through his face and he dies.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, the man, Bo-Katan's like, hey, you want to join us? You can fight with us. You know, and he's like, no, I got shit to do. So she tells him that to go to the city of, Caladan on the planet Corvus, and you'll find the Jedi.
Ahsoka Tano.
Jeez, I'm crying. I couldn't think of her name all of a sudden. Yeah. So lots to unpack on this. Lots of great stuff. Lots of great action. Like you said, you know, I've been a huge fan of Katie Sackhoff since Halloween Resurrection. Her character was the ditzy blonde in there, and that's the direction her career could have gone. But instead, she's done tons of amazing stuff after amazing stuff. She's fantastic in this.
She's turned into a true badass in every sense of the word.
Absolutely.
You know, she was Battlestar Galactica. You know, she was Starbuck. She was in that actually not bad Riddick movie. She's turned into a real badass.
See her boobs.
Yes.
Just saying, saw boobs.
There was a lot to love about this episode. Baby Yoda was adorable. You know, even when he was like, you were worried when he got left with the frog people, but it looks like he didn't eat any of the eggs. He saw one of them hatch and he was all excited and he was playing with the new little baby, didn't try to eat it or anything. And
Maybe he had a difference of opinion when that Manticore swallowed him up about shit. I don't like being eaten by big stuff.
True. That's
of
true.
Of course, by the end, he's eating some sort of jellyfish thing that was on the ship. So.
That was kind of a funny little thing there where he basically, we thought that he was going to get fucked up because that starfish, jellyfish, whatever was like climbing up and it went to come down on him and we're getting the sinister music. And then the Mandalorian just like grabs it out of the, squishes it and he's like, and then eats it.
It's a good show. I enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah, it's great. I love, too. Okay. There were a lot of little subtle fun things in this one. Like when they're crashing down and the people are talking to them and they're like, you need to slow down. You need to slow down. And he like at the last second, he does the reverse thrusters and he slows down. Oh, good. Oh, then one of the engines goes out and he dumps right in the water. And that Mon Calamari guy just like shakes his head and walks away. And then later on, when he gets it fixed, he's like, I gave you 1,000 credits. This is the best you can do. And the Mon Calamari doesn't even look at him, just holds the pad in front of him so that he can sign off on it. And he's like, all right. And it's like patched up for shit. There's like strings holding stuff together in the cockpit.
Oh,
he's just like
terrible.
Yeah. He's like, Mon Calamari. Ugh.
And then when he jets off at the end, like it reminds me of Firefly, you know, when he hits light speed at the end and zips away, a piece of the ship just starts floating back towards the camera. Yep. You know what I mean? Yeah, that fell off. So it's an awesome show. Absolutely love it.
It is.
Absolutely love it.
Yep.
Anything else you want to chat about on the air?
No, I think that was about it. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We forgot a show.
What a show?
Blacklist came back.
Oh, fuck, it did. Yeah.
Do you want to wait until next week and do that?
Yeah, let's wait.
Next week is called Katerina Ristova Part 2, so.
Yeah, let's wait till next week, yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that. Cool. All right, well, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
For sure, thank you.
Later.